Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go
on. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour cosmic cocktail party. GA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Awesome show lined up for you. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. We have it all this morning, top to bottom, bottom to top. Six games, wild card weekend, five of them have been played. We'll discuss and analyze all five and preview tonight's Rams and Cardinals Monday Nighter to wrap up the wild card weekend throughout the morning. NFL analyst, NFL senior writer for the Boston Globe, Ben Volin's going to join us. We enjoy having him on the show regularly. We can not only do the autopsy of an absolute disgraceful defensive performance by the Patriots on Saturday night, but also the rest of the NFL weekend with Ben, since he covers all of the NFL for the Globe. We'll do that coming up here on the show 1 hour from now, but specifically what the hell they're talking about in New England today after Bill Belichick has handed his most humiliating loss ever. Also, this morning on the show, Momentous Monday in 40 minutes, in honor of our friend Little Mo, a story of inspiration across sports. The Raiders, did they get nicked by the officiating? We'll do that coming up in hour number two. Also, we'll discuss the Niners and their potential chances for a deep playoff run, since they are advancing. The Buccaneers use Tom Brady's magic one more time and dispatch easily of the Philadelphia Eagles. Did they regain their mojo? And everything else from the weekend that was, including the Chiefs ending Big Ben's career last night without breaking much of a sweat. All of that this morning on the program, plus everything else football related. Dial us up. Jump on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. or on Twitter, as I just mentioned. You can tweet at me your thoughts on the weekend. I'll read through those over the course of this morning. DA on CBS is that phone number. I should say is that Twitter handle. That's at DA on CBS. Let's begin at AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World yesterday, where the Cowboys came in crossing their fingers. This would be the year they finally make a championship run. For the first time since 1995, the Cowboys have been waiting for a trip to at least the NFC Championship game or beyond the Super Bowl. It'll have to wait yet another year, as it always does, because the Dallas Cowboys were once again paper champions. Moving through an easily discarded group of average to below average teams in the NFC East. Yes, the Eagles made the playoffs, but we saw what type of team they were yesterday. The Giants were a dumpster fire all season long. Washington was a non-playoff competitor. In fact, if you looked at the Dallas Cowboys resume going into yesterday's game, what you realized was Dallas hadn't beaten a playoff caliber foe since week 6. Seriously, you've got to go back to their win in Foxborough. Feel how long ago that was. How long ago does that game feel? Cowboys and Patriots back in mid-October. That's the last time the Cowboys beat a team that would make the playoffs. And I'm not counting week 18 because the Eagles didn't play any of their starters. So it was a long time, more than 10 weeks since the Cowboys were able to knock off a squad that put their playoff caliber team out there on the field. And it showed, it reared its ugly head yesterday. As the Niners jumped out to the early lead, the Cowboys seemed to sleep at the wheel, and ultimately it was too much to overcome. Now everyone will be pointing to the final play where Dak and the offense are trying to get into position for a couple of shots of the end zone. And with 14 seconds of play, run a quarterback draw, which ends when they can't spot the football correctly and timely, and the clock expires. People will be blaming the officials, including, apparently, Dak Prescott. However, it's misguided. Who's to blame for the Cowboys' loss? All of them. It's where we begin. You're cold open.
Prescott in the gun, runs up the middle to the 30. To the 25 and slides. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did he spike it in time? Didn't get it spiked in time.
They haven't said anything official. The back judge, the man deepest away from the ball, he's got the clock. He's keeping track of the clock.
Scoreboard clock is running at zero.
Yeah, so he would be the one to determine where the clock was. Now again, this could,
that's the end of the game.
Oh wow, there you go.
We practice it. You hand it to the center. The umpire, all he has to do is usually come in and tap the ball. But yeah, I mean, don't necessarily know exactly why the hit happened, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I know he's going to come in and touch the ball. We can say, yeah, he needs to be closer to the ball or whatever, but in hindsight, I mean, it's just tough.
We've got good players in there, really good players. And San Francisco played well. And but even at that, they did play well. They outplayed us. But at the end, we still left ourselves a chance. And very disappointing that we couldn't get it done.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Brad Sham on Cowboys radio with the call, Dak Prescott, and then you heard Jerry Jones as well. And so after this game, this was really disappointing. After the game, Dak Prescott was asked about the fans throwing debris onto the field. As the Cowboys were making their way off of the field, debris was being thrown down towards the players going into the tunnel. And Dak, when asked about this, said it was disappointing, said that that shouldn't happen, said that the players go out there and try their hardest, nobody's trying to lose, and then was asked about fans throwing debris towards the referees and said, quote, credit to them then, credit to them. Meaning, good, I'm glad you threw it at the referees. The worst thing the Cowboys routinely do as an organization is blame other people, blame other parties, blame circumstance. It happens time and time again because that's what Jerry Jones does. We're great. How could we lose? It can't be our fault. It happens year after year after year. It's been happening for a quarter century. And the worst thing Dak could do, and I think we all respect Dak. He's always been a very conscientious leader. He's always been very mature in his press conferences. He always has a pretty solid professional demeanor. The worst thing he could have done yesterday is applaud blaming the officials. Because, dude, that ain't it. Let's go down the laundry list of why the Cowboys lost this football game. Number one, on that final play, you can't run that final play. You've got no timeouts. You can't risk not getting another playoff by running a quarterback sneak. At the moment it happened, Jim Nance is saying, whoa, why are they doing this? Every one of us watching said, whoa, why are you doing this? You've got no timeouts. So, number one, you risk your season ending exactly that way, without a throw into the end zone. Play call, Kellen Moore. Mike McCarthy, green lighting that play call. Good teams, good coaches don't call that play. Number three, Dak Prescott. Get down, dude. Instead of trying to get all of the 17 yards, take 10, get down, save yourself a couple of seconds. Okay? Also, Dak, make sure you hand the football to the umpire or the official, because if you hand it to your center, that does nothing. The official has to touch the football before the next play is snapped. So you can give it to your center, and he can run laps around the field if he'd like. He can take it, show it to the fans, get a roar of the crowd, spike it. He can act like he's burping the baby. It don't matter. The play can't start until the umpire gets it. So you boneheads, doesn't matter until that guy with the stripes is handed the football, hand him the football. More so, the slow start. I mean, come on. The Cowboys win 12 games and then show up like they're sleeping through the first half of their playoff game. They had 7 yards after the first quarter. Seven. A team that scored 530 points the regular season. More than that team has ever scored. Ever. And they had 7 yards in the first quarter. Hello, McFly, wake up. Also, penalties. How many mind-numbing, stupid decision penalties can the Cowboys have thrown on them before they look at themselves and say, that's on us? The entire day was scarred by penalty after penalty. 14 penalties! 14! By the way, this is not out of the realm of normalcy for the Cowboys. They led the league in penalties. So you tell me, were they right or not to throw them? Let's continue. How about, as I mentioned, the Cowboys offense being remarkably shaky after Dak strained his calf in New England? It never got right. And yesterday, it wasn't right as well. And if you dare want to blame the officials for taking away that final play, well, there's A, no guarantee you were going to get a touchdown from the 25-yard line anyway. B, you would just run right down the field on a bunch of patterns to the outside, out of bounds. So why wouldn't you run one more of those? They had worked so well the Niners were basically gifting you that yardage. Run one more of those and get out of bounds. But also, man, were you gifted even that chance? Because that was a first down on the quarterback sneak on fourth down. First of all, the officials bailed you out on the re-spot, okay? But they got it right. Looked like they got it right. They re-spot it. Fourth down comes up. The Niners get the first down, except Trent Williams isn't standing or isn't set. The Niners shoot themselves in the foot. That's an egregious error. So the Cowboys are completely bailed out because even though they didn't stop the first down, Trent Williams isn't in his stance. I mean, you want to blame the officials? The officials? Dak, shame on you. I mean, come on, own this. And the entire Cowboys team has to own this. That was a loss, thorough. And the Niners went in there and handed a beating on the Cowboys in their house, just like the Cowboys always receive. 26 years and counting. They can't get to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl. This year is no different. And let's be perfectly frank here as well. In terms of the power structure of the NFC playoffs, the Cowboys were the fifth best team of the NFC playoffs this year. They just were. They ain't the Packers. They're not the Buccaneers. They're not the Rams. And clearly, they're not the Niners either. They were the fifth best team of their own conference. They weren't going anywhere anyway. It's just appropriate because remember early in the season, Amari Cooper said, "We're thinking Super Bowl." And remember early in the season when the Cowboys had that whitewash against the Broncos where they just got waxed 30-16 and Jerry said, "I never even considered losing a football game." The Cowboys got ahead of themselves, as they always do. It's an organization led by Jerry who are always ahead of themselves. And when they bust at the poker table, they blame everybody else. Mike McCarthy, blame the officials. Dak Prescott, blame the officials. Cowboys fan, blame the officials. Right, it's always the officials' fault. 26 years of this, it's always the officials, though. Clown show. Just so appropriate. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. The Cowboys, since that win against the Patriots, beat the Vikings, the Falcons, the Saints, Washington twice, the Giants, and the Eagles running their backups. You know what they all have in common? Non-playoff teams. Since that game against the Patriots, you know who they lost to? The Chiefs, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Niners. Guess who all they had in common? Playoff teams. That's who the Cowboys were. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return. Woo-wee. Speaking of beatings, the Bills put the Patriots over their laps and spanked the Patriots all the time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Way back to Foxborough. We'll talk about Josh Allen's perfect game next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now the snap. And Josh waiting to throw it. Fires towards the 2-yard line. Caught by Gabriel Davis. Scoots into the end zone. Touchdown Buffalo again. Another touchdown, a 19-yard strike, Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis.
It feels good for the fans, and I know that, and I'm glad we could give that to them. But at the end of the day, it's a playoff game that we advanced on, and it doesn't matter what we did this week or last week or the week before. What matters is what we do going forward.
Bills radio on the call. Josh Allen after his scintillating night on Saturday against the Patriots. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that you can always listen to the show on your phone. Take us with you wherever you go this morning by streaming us on your phone using the Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app, or you can watch us as well on your phone. Go to watchda.com. I want to take your phone calls on the Cowboys' miserable effort yesterday and pointing the finger at the officiating. After the game, Dak Prescott was asked about fans throwing debris on the field. And said it. They shouldn't do it if it's at the players. But when asked about the officials, people throwing stuff at the officials, he said, credit to them then. Credit to them. Talking about the fans. Blame the refs. On the Bills note, that was as thorough an ass kicking as we have ever seen Bill Belichick endure. Ever. In fact, it was perfection. Not just for those of us who hate the Patriots, but just in terms of NFL history. No offense had ever done, not a playoff game, any game ever, what the Bills pulled off. 7 possessions, 7 touchdowns, no punts, no field goals, no turnovers. Nobody had ever had a perfect offensive game before where every time you touch the football, you scored a touchdown, not a field goal, no punts, and no turnovers. Nobody had ever done that. The Bills pulled the trick in the playoffs against the supposed greatest defensive mind in NFL history. It was as complete and as thorough of an ass-kicking as you will ever see in a playoff game. And that's supposed to be one of the best defenses in football, that Patriots defense. Sure didn't look like it. Josh Allen had his star turn on Saturday. That's it. He's a superstar. There's no questions anymore about whether he can get it done. Doesn't mean he won a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean he's in the Super Bowl. As Josh Allen just said, as you heard, just one step, just one game. But that night, the Bills put the football in the hands of Josh Allen and said, go win this game. Throw wherever you want to throw. Make whatever decision you want to make. We trust you to win this game. And every throw he made was nearly perfect. And it wasn't just dinks and dunks, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, short field stuff, intermediate field stuff. You watched Josh Allen on the field and said, superstar. And you transpose that against Mac Jones and said, that guy looks average. Of course, Mac Jones wasn't out there defending the defense, or defending Josh Allen, rather, playing defense. But aside from a couple of plays in that first drive, Mac was entirely average, which is what rookie quarterbacks are in the playoffs. Josh Allen had more touchdowns thrown than incompletions. I can't say enough about what Allen did on Saturday. Again, that's supposed to be a top 5 defense in the NFL that he did that against. Every throw was perfect on a night where, as you saw, the temperatures were brisk. It ain't easy throwing and catching when it's 0 degrees. But man, the Bills made it look easy. That would have been difficult to do. Well, it has never been done, but that would have been difficult to do at 75 degrees inside a dome. They did it on one of the coldest nights in NFL playoff history. Josh Allen, superstar. That's it, right there. He may never have a day like that, but he's still young. And watching that, you know you've got a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl. No doubt about it. More on that humiliation coming up as we make our way through the morning. My God, Patriots. You are now just everybody else. An average to above average to below average football team that doesn't scare you in the least. That the aura is gone. That the coaching will always save us out the door. That a complete team, a dedicated team, a hard-working team, a we-don't-beat-ourselves team, a sledgehammer team, a physical team, all that's out the window. Because over the last month and a half, the Patriots were garbage. When it mattered most, Patriots always play well in December and January. They were bad. They were bad. Ever since they won that Monday Nighter in Buffalo, they were a bottom barrel football team. And they just got their asses handed them. And you don't forget that. Let's talk about all of this postseason drama. We start with Mark in Houston this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. And we're listening to you on the Odyssey app. I guess America's team can sit at home with the rest of America and watch the Super Bowl. How about them Cowboys?
Thank you, Mark. How about them Cowboys? Man, blaming the officials. The Cowboys beat themselves and then let the Niners beat them and then still had the gall to blame the officials. Man, you are so lucky Jimmy Garoppolo can't throw a little 7-yard pass pattern. That should have iced it. The first down on 4th-and-1 should have iced it. They can't get in their formation correctly. The Niners won that football game like 3 different times. The original first down spot by Deebo Samuel pulled back by a couple of inches. That created the fourth down. I mean, the Niners won the football game how many times? And the Cowboys blame the officials? Brian's in Texas this morning here on the show. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. You know, lifelong Cowboys fan here. Been a Cowboys fan since I can remember. You cannot put yourself in that situation. I don't know how many times the Cowboys had the 49ers, you know, 3 and out and have some stupid penalty called. You know, Cowboys being the most penalized team in the NFL, we have to work on our fundamentals. And as far as throwing trash on the field, that's completely unacceptable. You know, fans have to do better than that. And for Dak to say, good job for throwing it at the officials, that's not cool. And that's something I can't get behind.
That's exactly right, Brian. Appreciate the phone call, man. All of that is exactly right. Dak's been a great leader. He's been a good professional. He's been a really good quarterback. You trust him in big spots. He can't applaud throwing trash at officials. And the fans of the building cannot do that as well. But exactly like you said, how many times yesterday did the Cowboys just gift a first down to the Niners based on totally undisciplined play? And the Cowboys had this problem the entire season, which goes back to Mike McCarthy, a head coach that never had this squad buttoned up to a point where you trusted them in the playoffs. At no point in time over the last 2 months of the season did it feel like The Cowboys were on their X's and O's, their P's and Q's, because their coach wouldn't allow them to make those types of mistakes. If anything this year, it was, wow, Dan Quinn's done a wonder with the defense, and wow, Kellen Moore's probably going to get a head coaching opportunity. It was never, and the head coach really has his finger on the pulse. There was always something about Mike McCarthy this year that felt like the bottom was going to drop out. And Mraz, we talked about this ad nauseum this season. What's the biggest concern with the Cowboys going into January? And we said time and time again, Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy ultimately green lit the code red. Yeah, Kellen Moore calls the final play, but Mike McCarthy says, yeah, go for it, and then defends it after the game. That's an indefensible decision. The risk far outweighs the reward there. You can't put yourself in a situation where you never get another playoff.
Yeah, and he's an offensive mind, so clearly he had his fingerprints on that. And, oh, by the way, DA, it's the head coach's job to make sure the team is disciplined. And as you've said, they were the most undisciplined team in football, winning in spite of all their penalties all year. And come the playoffs, you're not going to win those games in the regular season where you're getting penalty after penalty to even put yourself in a spot where you're in scramble mode on the final drive in that game.
It was the most Cowboys loss ever. It was riddled with self-inflicted wounds. It was a sleepwalking effort in the first half of that game. And it ultimately, Mike McCarthy makes it sound like, and Dak make it sound like, they have no fault on the final play decision, when in reality, it's their fault this happened. Mike McCarthy for green lighting it, Dak for running it the way that he did. He should have gotten down earlier, and then Dak for not handing the football directly to the official. All of that is on Dak and Mike McCarthy, and neither one of them can sit there and own that. It's the most Cowboys loss ever.
Yeah, and to say you practice that time and time again all year, that's another further indictment on the head coach. You're actually throwing McCarthy under the bus when Dak Prescott says that postgame, because if you practice that over and over again, and that means you're green lit to run with no timeouts, clearly you didn't practice the part where you have to hand the ball to the ref and not blame the ref because he didn't haul his ass down there fast enough to make sure he said it.
And I've taken my shot to Tony Romo. I thought yesterday it became egregious at times how much he was rooting for the Cowboys to win. I mean, every time the Cowboys in that fourth quarter got a stop, got a play, got that INT, I mean, he is yelping. But this is where I give Romo credit. On that final play with Dak, Romo said, you can't do it that way. You've got to hand the football to the refs. You can't. He kept saying, you can't just give it to your center and have him snap it. That doesn't matter. You've got to clear the way for the official to put that ball down. And after the play was over, Romo reiterated, if you practice that, this game is over. You can't execute it that way. This game is over, because if you practice that, you have to know the football has to be handed directly to the official to save precious time. They didn't do it. So they clearly didn't practice it right. Romo was on that. He was on that. He knew it.
Yeah, and he did say, too, as Nance was telling him, they're not going to be able to get a snap off. Romo said, no, there is plenty of time. There is plenty of time. Romo knowing the caveat, you have to hand the ball to the ref and not sit there and block out the ref to do it.
Yep. Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. We've got headlines sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Sandwiched between all of that drama and stupidity in Dallas were two blowouts yesterday. At night in KC, Big Ben said goodbye with a whimper.
It's tough, but I'm proud to play with these guys. God has blessed me with an ability to throw a football and has blessed me to play in the greatest city in Pittsburgh with the greatest fans and the greatest football team and players, and it has just been truly a blessing, and I'm so thankful.
Roethlisberger and the Steelers actually led in the second quarter at Arrowhead after T.J. Watt's 26-yard fumble return touchdown, but that play woke up KC, not Pittsburgh.
Mahomes in the pocket, step up, firing down the near side, Kelce at the 20, 15 to the 10, and into the end zone, touchdown! Kansas City on a tightrope catch and run of 48 yards on third and 20.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. That was KC scoring for the third time late in the second quarter after that fumble return touchdown. They then scored three more touchdowns on their first three possessions of the second half to send Big Ben into retirement 42-21. Patrick Mahomes threw for five scores. Kelce tossed 1-2. Big Ben's final game included two garbage time TDs. The day began with the Eagles' no-show in Tampa. 31-0 Bucs through three, 31-15 in the end. Jalen Hurts says his team is better than this.
We know all the different things that we've overcome. We know the environment that we built as a football team and the organization. With the youth we've had, and which I've talked about all year, and I know as a football team, we'll be back.
Hurts struggled. His teammates struggled. The game plan struggled while Tom Brady tossed TDs to Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski. So here's now what we have this coming weekend. Bengals and Titans Saturday afternoon. The Niners in Green Bay at night, and San Francisco won in Dallas. Sunday has the Bucs hosting the Cardinals or the Rams. That game, of course, is tonight. And then the Bills in KC in the late game on Sunday. Buffalo offensive coordinator Brian Daboll interviewed yesterday with the Dolphins and the Bears. Miami also speaking with Buffalo DC Leslie Frazier.
How could he not get a job based on Saturday night? Every play Brian Daboll dialed up against the top five defense worked. Every play. Was there a play that the Bills ran offensively where you were like, that didn't have a chance? Everything he ran was a huge gain and a touchdown. I mean, I don't know. That if that's the last game you saw this guy coach, you'd be like, how can we not hire this guy?
And ran offense as if he was playing in the Superdome. It was below zero.
Outrageous. That was one of the most staggering offensive efforts ever put together. Arguably the greatest offensive game ever played. No team has ever scored a touchdown in every possession and didn't punt, didn't turn the football over, and didn't settle for a field goal.
NBA last night, the Utah Jazz set the four-game skid, 125-102 in Denver. Rudy Gobert, 18 points, 19 boards. They're missing five with COVID. And the T-Wolves dropped the Warriors, 119-99. Golden State didn't have Steph Curry because of a sore hand. And Draymond Green out at least two more weeks because of a sore left calf. The team said yesterday that problem is connected to a disc issue in his lower back. Kevin Durant has a sprained MCL. The Nets reportedly expect him to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Rafael Nadal with a straight set win to start his Australian Open. Meanwhile, France's sports minister says there will be no exceptions for Novak Djokovic or anyone else from the country's new vaccine requirement when we get to the French Open in the spring. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. We know that we might be on some affiliates that we're not traditionally on today because of the MLK holiday. So welcome into the mothership, everybody. We do this every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. So welcome aboard. You can listen to us if your local affiliate does have other programming on via the Odyssey app every single day as well. Take that with you wherever you go on your phone. You could watch us at watchda.com, or you can always stream us as well on your laptop or your home computer. Go to cbssportsradio.com. When we come back, some inspiration across sports with your Momentous Monday. I want more of your phone calls today after what was certainly an interesting weekend in the NFL world at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, like I said, DA on CBS. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a Momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand but hold your balance. I just say whatever cause there is no way you're around it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys wrapped up their season with a disappointing end, obviously, yesterday. But credit to C.D. Lamb, because he and Alvin Kamara did something pretty cool this past holiday season. They actually teamed up and are giving back to the community in charitable ways and helping out people that need some help in their charitable, in their community, in their charitable endeavors by raising money for them and families in need. It's called Sneaker Politics. And between CD and Alvin Kamara, they released some game day tees and hats, limited edition. They've got their faces on them and some cool graphics as well. They teamed up with some artists to put together some pretty badass logos, and 100% of whatever they make are going to families in the New Orleans community that are in times of need. They're both from the Bayou area. They're both from Louisiana. And CD's donation will be going toward the Elephant in the Room, which is a charity helping others who want to deal with or have to deal with family members with mental health issues or issues themselves. And same thing for Alvin Kamara, who has earmarked a number of his own important places to give the money to as well. And both these guys put their heads together and help develop really cool game day attire. And then also throwing tailgates and fundraisers for families. And so I thought this was cool because obviously they were both in the playoff hunts this year. They had really good teams and they're playing important games in December and January. And even despite being tied up in the middle of the season, they found time to help design and help push forward a cause that was close to their hearts to help out families in need over the course of the holiday season. So both those guys deserve a tip of the cap and some major credit. And a lot of these football players and professional athletes in the middle of their seasons that still find time to do these types of things, I always applaud. I think you could be in your own space, your own world. These athletes are completely consumed by their game days and their game weeks and their jobs, obviously. But when they step out of that and do more is when I really applaud them, because I understand that they can be in their own little world at times. But both Kamara and CeeDee Lamb certainly deserve credit for doing what they did. And I just thought it was awesome as well that throughout this entire season, the Baltimore Ravens still decided to keep M.O. highlighted in their end zone for Little Mo. How cool was that, just to watch Ravens games in Baltimore and still see the M.O. lit up in the end zone? That was just, every single time I saw it, something that grabbed me. I just loved seeing that. That was really awesome. Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Steve tweets, Belichick can't win playoff games without Tom Brady. Mac Jones had a nice season, but see you next year. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to Ben Volen, Boston Globe NFL columnist, about the aftermath of this loss and about that question as well, Mac Jones going forward. But I think it's pretty obvious that after the last 3 years, 2 one-and-dones and a non-playoff season, the Patriots have crashed back down to the rest of the pile of the NFL. And midway through this season, when the Patriots were on that win streak, 9-4, and they had beaten the Bills on the road in Buffalo, I had brought up the point that when I had tweeted 2 years ago, the Patriots have fallen to the third team of this division and it's not going to change for a while, I got dragged across the internet. Can you believe this guy? You should be fired. We had a good laugh about that. I read all these mean tweets about that because Old Takes Exposed had retweeted that and resurfaced that. But where we stand right now, the Bills are so much clearly a better organization with better players and a better quarterback. And the Dolphins just swept the Patriots. The Pats played 5 games against the Bills and Dolphins this year. They won one of those when winds were 50 miles an hour. So you tell me. I mean, I know that the Dolphins just fired Brian Flores and Tua may never be a star, but the Patriots have fallen all the way back down to the pack. And when they were rattling off all those wins against garbage teams midway through the season, again, people said, you want to rethink the Patriots' funeral? Egg on your face. How stupid do you look? No. No, I'm not going to rethink that because, again, the dynasty's over. They're not winning Super Bowls. You know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl? They made that look easy because they got grandfathered into AFC championship games every year and number one and number two seeds by playing in a division where you could stack five or six wins every year. This year they lost four times in the division. One in the playoffs in humiliating fashion. So the aura of invincibility around the Patriots and that scary, uh-oh, Bill Belichick boogeyman, that's been ripped away. That's been ripped away. Since they won the Super Bowl, they've had 2 1-and-dones in the wild card round and a non-playoff season. Who's scary? We'll talk about all of that, plus the entire NFL playoff weekend with Ben Volen of the Boston Globe next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.